Hello and welcome to the CGF podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in the first series of our podcast, where we delve behind the scenes of our work and we share our thoughts about the challenges facing the industry, the planet, and its people. The Consumer Goods Forum is a CEO-led organization that helps the world's retailers and consumer goods manufacturers to collaborate alongside other key stakeholders to secure consumer trust and drive positive change. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking to friend of the CGF, Stephen Wynne-Jones, editor of European Supermarket Magazine. And we're recording from this year's Sustainable Retail Summit here in Berlin. So hello, Steve. It's great to have the opportunity to talk to you today. Thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Louise. It's a pleasure.
So Steve, maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about ESM Magazine.
I'll start with a bit of context. We were founded about 10 years ago because there was a gap in the market for a magazine that dealt with pan-European issues. Because you might be a retailer in Portugal, but you don't have visibility beyond the Iberian Peninsula. Or you might be in the Nordic region, but you don't know what's going on in Southern Europe. So there was a market there for a magazine that dealt with those issues, that informed top-level executives, chief executives, managing directors, about the bigger picture, what's coming down the line in terms of trends, in terms of innovation, and how you can facilitate collaboration and working together.
So I know you're just about to publish your latest report called Sustainability 2020, which profiles retailers and manufacturers that are really setting the agenda on sustainability. Could you give us a little sneak peek into the report? What are maybe one or two of the most interesting findings that have come out of it?
So the Sustainability 2020 report really brings that mindset together. There's certain European benchmarks when it comes to things like sustainability that go beyond competition, that go beyond the silo thinking that might be associated with big business. Things like packaging reformulation, food waste, supply chain optimization, product reformulation. It's also particularly timely. We're starting in a new decade now, which obviously presents new opportunities, but also new challenges. What's the consumer of 2030 going to demand? What is the consumer base going to look like? What is Generation Z, which is a hugely influential group at the moment, what are they going to be demanding? And sustainability is one of those areas that underpins everything. And I think at the moment, where we are in terms of bigger picture, there's a mood towards collaboration, there's a mood towards companies working together, and there's a mood towards also transparency and visibility about what's going on at big companies in terms of sustainability.
So we're currently at the Sustainable Retail Summit at the end of the very first day, which has been extremely busy and packed full of some great insights. I'd like to hear from you, Steve. As the theme of this year's SRS has been about delving into the hard truths on sustainability and health, as a journalist, how do you distinguish the real stories from the fake news, especially when it comes to a topic that is as complex as sustainability?
It is a hugely complex topic and also a very emotive topic. And on the topic of fake news, of course, we hear the stories about stories being spread by social media, and certain world leaders aren't helping in that regard. But I think within the business community, there's an understanding that, you know, the Amazon is in peril, that there is forced labor, that there is issues with supply chains that need to be addressed, that the fake news element is parked to a certain degree. At the same time, though, you have almost a sensationalization of some of the bad elements of the storyline. There's a lack of balance when it comes to what companies are doing. I'll give you an example. Earlier this year, the Ellen MacArthur Foundation issued a report in which firms revealed their plastic footprint. And I remember some of the figures were quite shocking. Coca-Cola, I think, produced 3 million bottles of plastic a year. Now, obviously, that was seized upon by media outlets pointing the finger at Coca-Cola, pointing the finger at what they could be doing and what they aren't doing in the eyes of the general population. But, you know, that kind of disguises the point a little bit because there's no balance there. Coca-Cola took a brave step in many ways to reveal its plastic footprint. And the first issue that, you know, in terms of that visibility is airing your dirty laundry, getting that message out there that, yes, we have a problem and here's what we're going to do to try and solve it.
So speaking of today's day one of the SRS conference, do you have any highlights or what stood out to you?
There was a fascinating presentation from Walt Disney in which some of the numbers revealed were staggering. While Walt Disney doesn't manufacture any products itself, there was talk of 35,000 manufacturers producing Walt Disney products, potentially millions of workplaces. And that's a real issue when it comes to sustainability. How do you get visibility there? How do you get transparency on what's going on in those workplaces? So I thought that was fascinating.
So you've been following the CGF closely for a number of years now. How do you think that we have evolved, and do you see the growing focus on collaboration as being critical to driving industry progress?
Yes, ESM has been closely aligned with the Consumer Goods Forum for some time now. And there's been a real evolution in the past few years of the forum from being a group that promotes action. I think if you go back many years, there was a feeling maybe within the industry and also amongst the companies that were members of the CGF that it was a bit of a talking shop, that there was initiatives talked about, there was commitments made without the visibility on how to get there. One of the main talking points at this particular Sustainable Retail Summit has been deforestation and the commitment that was made 10 years ago to eliminate deforestation by 2020. Obviously, that wasn't achieved, and Kevin Rabinovich from Mars pointed out that the first assessment was made of the deforestation pledge was in 2017. And now I think there's a feeling amongst forum members that's just not good enough, that there needs to be, companies need to be answerable to their commitments. They can't hide behind being a member of the forum and expecting everything to be okay. They can't hide behind 2030 commitments or 2050 commitments. There's a demand for action now. I think that's partly the Greta Thunberg effect, that maybe it took a 16-year-old Swedish schoolgirl to point out the obvious, which is that things aren't being done well enough, that you need to go further than the legal expectations or legal requirements. You need to set agendas that are daring, that are rule-breaking, and not just think about what can we do to appease the shareholders or appease the general community. You need to really push the boat out.
I think that's personally why I'm encouraged by this new model that we're moving towards at the CGF of the coalitions of action, allowing those members who are ready and able to lead on the topics to move at a much faster pace whilst not being held back.
Yes, of course. And a lot of companies have legacy systems that aren't perfect, of course. And I mean, there's a lot of visibility now that reveals things that maybe they'd rather, you know, they didn't talk about. Things like deforestation, things like forced labour. If you go back a few years, the very first Consumer Goods Forum Sustainable Retail Summit, the CEO of one of the big confectionery companies stood up and made a very bold statement. Yes, we do believe we have deforestation in our supply chain. We do believe we have forced labour in our supply chain, because if you delve deep enough, you've got contractors working for contractors. You're not 100% sure on where a product is being sourced or who is working on that particular product. And because you don't have total visibility, you cannot be sure. So that was controversial 4 years ago. But now that has almost become normalized, that the companies that are members of the CGF, the companies that are addressing these topics, acknowledge the fact that, yes, we're not perfect, that, yes, there probably are issues that we need to address, that we need more visibility, because if we don't have the visibility, somebody else might uncover it, and then we're in serious trouble. I also think there's an acknowledgement now that big retailers, big brands, they can't be tied to quarterly reports. They can't be tied to AGMs and the whims of their shareholders. Of course, this is a profit-making business. You're in it to make money. You're in it to drive your business forward, and you have to a certain extent, appease the shareholders, or else as a CEO, you'll be out the door. But companies need to think, and they are thinking in bigger terms now. They're not thinking about, okay, how do we drive profits for the next quarter? We're thinking about 10 years down the line. Are we still going to be a profitable enterprise? What can we do to put in place now that will help us to get there? And that's a really progressive thing, I think, that change in business mindset amongst big companies.
So we're about to move into a new decade in a couple of months, something that I think some of us only realised recently. As we look back over the past 10 years, what do you think that the retail world has learned in that time?
I think retailers now understand that they are not the kingmakers. It goes for big brands as well. That there was a time 10 years ago, especially 20 years ago, that a retailer or a brand could introduce something, could start a trend, and the population would catch on, the consumer base would catch on. That role has flipped completely now. The consumer base is the kingmaker. So if they want movement on sustainability, if they want movement on product reformulation, if they want less sugar or salt in their products, they are the ones that dictate the policy. Now, that's fundamentally problematic for big companies, because the old adage that it takes, you know, a lot of effort to move a supertanker. And agility is something that has worked its way into the mindset of consumer goods companies, of retailers, because they have to be agile now. They have to be able to turn on a pinhead and go in a different direction if that's what the consumer is demanding. And that's really that people power, partly driven by social media, partly driven by accountability. That people power has probably been the biggest change, I think, in the consumer goods industry in the past decade.
So looking forwards then, what retail trends do we need to be looking out for?
I think, obviously, collaboration has been talked about for generations, well, certainly for decades. But I think now that moving away from silo thinking, that realization that, you know, if you work together on certain things, you can create, you know, more business, you can drive greater efficiencies. Buying collaboration has been a big area. I mean, Carrefour and Tesco came together on a buying collaboration, which a few years ago would have been unheard of. But there's certain synergies there that they can drive. Collaboration in terms of supply chain sharing. Again, this goes back to sustainability. Why should a lorry travel across Europe empty to go back to a depot when two groups could work together on a solution that, you know, facilitates driving back and forth with a full truck? Mm. So collaboration is going to accelerate, I think, in the next decade. Another area is retail technology. Obviously, the rise of online shopping has gone at different paces in different markets. We're sitting here in Germany, where it's a very sluggish pace because the margins are very low, because it's difficult to compete with when you've got a supermarket on every corner. But consumers are still using their phones more than ever before. They're still engaging via social media. They're still engaging through digital channels. They want to pay through digital channels. So there's going to be, I think, in the next 10 years, certainly in the next few years anyway, a merging together of the digital and the real, the bricks and mortar with the clicks and mortar, because the consumer demands, again, going back to what I was saying about people power, the consumer demands digitally enhanced store. They demand a certain standard when it comes to, just like you check into a hotel, if they don't have Wi-Fi, you know, this is a huge no-no now. They expect certain standards, and they want retailers and they want brands to exceed those standards.
Absolutely. So finishing up on a personal question then, this is something I do like to ask everybody on the podcast. What keeps you motivated then to keep doing the job that you're doing?
That's a good question. Obviously, as a pan-European magazine, it's great to get out on the road and travel across Europe and see how retailers, how brands are addressing what are fundamentally the same issues. The need to drive value, the balance of value and quality, the rise of private label, the integration of digital. These are, you know, issues that transcend just the regular kind of retail geographies in which these operators operate. And getting out on the roads, meeting these people, seeing how they're addressing these topics, it's fascinating. At the same time, obviously, my carbon footprint, you know, is relatively high. So, from a sustainability point of view, that's you know, not the best, but we'll brush over that for the moment. The other thing, of course, I mean, retail never sleeps. It's one of those industries that, you know, is always dynamic. It's competitive. There's a feeling amongst the industry that, you know, whatever you can do, I can do better. And that kind of self-perpetuating, that acceleration is fascinating. At the end of the day, they have to eat. People have to go to the supermarket. So while we are a business-to-business magazine, this is a topic that affects everybody, and that, to me, is fascinating.
Super. Well, thank you very much for your time at the end of what's been, I think, for both of us, a very, very busy day. It's been a pleasure, Steve.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. For any listeners who want to find out more about the mission and work of the CGF, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. If you enjoyed the episode, please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon. Thank you and goodbye.